WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Third and final hour of the program here on Thursday morning on Juneteenth. So I'm sure a lot of you have the day off from work or from school or from wherever it is you're going to be, and you picked a good day to be tuning in because we got some big news for you. We're going to be talking about the 109th Feast of the Blessed Sacrament coming up in New Bedford here. And everybody knows this is the biggest weekend of the city. The biggest weekend in the city of the year. And we've got the big news about what's going to be taking place. Joining us, we have the feast president, Carl Colangelo. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Great.
Oh, hold on.
Thanks for having us.
There we go. All right. And we also have the vice president, John Alves. Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me now try that again.
Good morning.
It helps if I turn the microphones up. Yeah, we've been having some microphone issues, so we'll try and get through them the best that we can. So today, you guys are making a big announcement, one that everybody looks forward to. We'll get into all the different things people can expect about the feast, but of course, everybody looks forward to the announcement of the entertainment lineup, the headlining acts. Let us know what's going to be happening.
Well, good morning, and thanks for having us again. This year, we're doing something a little bit different. Instead of having that big band on Thursday night to open up the feast, we're spreading out the entertainment and having about five or six excellent top bands from around the country, tribute bands. Earth, Wind, and Fire tribute band is starting up on Thursday night for us. On Friday, we're going to have two. There'll be Unforgettable Fire, which is a U2 tribute band. And then later on in the night, we'll have Dookie, which is a Green Day tribute band. Basically, it's a tribute to American music.
Wow.
But on Saturday, that's our Portuguese night, and we're having Nélia back by popular demand. She did such a great job last year, and she wanted to participate again, and the committee just loved her so much, you know? And then on Sunday, we wrap up the feast with two. We have Great Escape, which is a Journey tribute band, and Sunday night, we'll do Crazy on You, which is a Heart tribute band. It's going to be a fantastic night. These are all top-notch bands from around the country, and they play, you know, great venues, the casinos and stuff like that. It's going to be fantastic.
And this is going to be a lineup, John, that I think will get people of all different, fans of all different genres.
Which is always the goal. We have five stages that are running nearly simultaneously, and there are over 50 artists and bands performing over the 4 days. And it's all free, so there's plenty for everyone.
By the way, there are, like, big nationwide, like, people come from all over the world, music festivals that people go to that are not nearly as efficient as the feast is at getting all these acts together.
Thank you. You could
teach Boston Calling a thing or two, I think.
Thanks.
But I mean, but that, of course, speaks to all of the volunteers that have to help make this happen.
You know, that's really how the only way it can happen. We have nearly 1,000 volunteers. This is a completely volunteer organization from day one. So, and the generosity of the community of Greater New Bedford is quite remarkable.
And with bands like this, as I said, you know, you're going to get people, the fans of different genres, but also of different age groups, different generations, and that's really what the feast is. It's something for everybody. It's not just geared toward, you know, one demographic. It's not just geared toward, you know, people of Madeiran heritage. It's for everybody, and it's for, you know, I want to say, it's almost like, and I don't mean this to sound, you know, strange at all, but it's almost like kind of a sneaky way to get people in. Like, you're going to come to hear it because you love U2 or Green Day, and then you're going to get exposed to all the Madeiran culture and be won over.
Well, we found out over the years that people love our Madeiran wine.
Yes.
And they love the Portuguese food. And this year, one of the great features is we're importing and bringing some really interesting products from Portugal for the feast. You know, the natas, which mm-hmm. are the famous dessert worldwide. We're importing them from Porto, Portugal this year. So they're delicious. We've been taste testing them now for about a month. really good.
Oh, man. I can only imagine how good those must be. And, of course, you did mention the wine, which is, I think, everybody's favorite. But what's interesting about it, too, is, and we've discussed this in the past, but you're the only people, you're the only ones allowed to bring it over here in those barrels.
Yes. Right.
We have a special arrangement with the Madeira and the wine ministry over there. And that's our special thing.
Yeah.
In fact, the wine came in last week. So we had a bunch of people coming in to help us unload it off the trucks. And we did do a little taste test.
I would say help you unload it so that they can make sure one of them cracks open accidentally.
Quality control is important in any business.
And certainly this is something where when everybody gets together for this and... You know, I'm sure there's some anticipation and some anxiety as you lead into it. But what a sense of accomplishment it must be when this weekend is over, when everybody's come and had a great time, when you've been able to raise money, which is an important part of what this is all about. And then, you know, you can sit back and relax and maybe then have yourself a couple of glasses of Madeira wine and celebrate another successful year.
Absolutely. We pride ourselves on being able to give back to the community in donations to scholarships, in donations to other charities around here. And the work doesn't begin just a couple of months before the feast. It starts the very day after the last feast, where we get down there and take down all the decorations, store them, prepare them for next year, and start the committees.
Yeah. I think the greatest feeling the day after the feast is that you did something in memory of your relatives,
mm-hmm.
the people that got you here to America.
And
it's wonderful.
You continued on the tradition that is now over 100 years going strong.
Right. We're five generations now into this.
So we have a wonderful mix of people that have come here over and have been acclimated to the U.S. culture, you know, like you said, five generations. And also there are some people on our committee that's still living in Madeira. We have three committee members this year that are from Madeira that will be joining us for the celebration.
And there was also a big change last year made to how the group is comprised.
Oh, it's been wonderful.
So that's been a nice, easy smoke. Because I know you had a lot of women who were already contributing, and now this just kind of makes it official.
The women have been part of the committee, helping us out since the feast started.
Mm-hmm.
They've been standing there side by side with us, you know, and it was a pleasure inviting them in. We look forward to another year with the women and future years with the women. In fact, our committee has, I think, 60% of our committee is women.
Wow.
And we have two women on our executive board this year.
So that, like you said, you know, they've been there since the beginning, but now it's just kind of official that they get recognized as such.
It's a breath of fresh air.
And it really is. It's. I've talked to people who say that they've been involved in it because they had a family member who was, whether it be a father or an uncle or what have you. And it really is a role that people take seriously for something that, you know, is a volunteer position. They feel like it's their duty as part of that family to step in and play this role.
It is an inheritance to be on this, to be Madeiran and to be on this committee.
It's amazing. Once you serve and you do all this work, you wonder what it's for. Then when you see what you contribute back to the community, you see the camaraderie, the people of the feast actually become like your extended family. And you really, it is like a large family.
But it's the kind of family where you don't have to worry about fighting with each other because you're all going to get along in the end.
Oh, we fight a little bit, but then we all shake hands.
Yes.
That's the important
part. Have a glass of wine and give a hug, you know, because it wouldn't get done if we didn't argue about a few things.
That is true,
To make it better.
That's how you move things forward.
That's why everybody does this.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge of putting on the feast that people might not think about or know about?
Basically, it's... people just see the feast when they come there. They think that everything just turns up, the carnival, the meat, the vegetables, the drinks. But it's really in all the planning. And there's difficulties every year. One vendor may go out of business. You need to find a substitute for it. You have to work together to generate a committee to deal with a new issue. Or you have to plan how you're going to expand and repair everything. So it is basically all the logistics of continuing on this tradition and dealing with how new challenges you face and overcoming them.
It's so true. This is the 50th anniversary of my first serving as a committee member. And it is night and day changed. And but every year, there's just when you think you've got it down, there's something new, a new twist, a new condition, or a new opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
One of the great opportunities we have this year is with, excuse me, South Coast Braille. We are doing a great promotion with Keyless Tour Company, which runs the tours from South Station to New Bedford. So you can go online and find, if you're coming from north of New Bedford, you get a great opportunity to do that.
And I know, you know, it is an evolution. People might think, like, this must be turnkey automatic because 109 years, you know, you just do the same thing over and over again. But like you said, you're always evolving and finding different ways. In the past, we had the changes to the security where people, you change right. the way that people come into the feast grounds. And that was something that, you know, was everybody was calling into the station up in arms about this because they said, how is this going to work? It's never going to work. And you know what? After it was over, everybody said, "Yeah, it was fine.
It's been great,
nice and smooth."
It's like going to Gillette Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think people have appreciated the security,
and it certainly, you know, it makes people feel better, even though they had no reason to not feel safe before. It just we're in a different environment in the world today, and if you can give them that little bit of protection, it makes them feel like they can get in there and let loose and have an extra glass of wine and those kind of things.
Yeah, and it's actually brought in more the elder people that would leave normally early. They feel safe, you know, young people, they feel safe there at the feast. So we work with the police, we work with the city. And we already had 3 meetings together with them to make sure that we're going to have the safest and best feast ever.
And so is there anything else this year that people might need to know about that might be a little bit different than they remember in the past?
Well, there's some. We got some new food. Like John mentioned before, we're bringing in natas, which is the Portuguese custards, right? They're delicious. We have sumal, and we have superbok.
Oh, nice. I'm a fan. I like. I mean, obviously, you know, going to get the wine first, but you know, it's sometimes well,
everything in moderation.
Yeah, take the edge off. Well, I can walk home, so
let's not forget about the museum, right? We have that museum cafe, which highlights Portuguese fado music and folk music, and it's a more of a quieter setting for those people that like to have a different ambiance about the feast. I invite you to come down and check that out if you'd like that also.
And we have a brand new pavilion that we built this year down there that's really pretty spectacular. So,
well, and by the way, Chris McCarthy's going to be broadcasting his show from the museum.
That's right.
I believe on the Wednesday, Wednesday
that's
before.
Right.
So, and we're trying to get the mayor to come down and do his segment there. And they just asked, they said, well, are they going to have the Madeira wine open? I said, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we usually do.
They'll have it open on Wednesday.
I think it's a rule we have to open it at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Well, isn't that
not really?
Isn't that when you have kind of like? Isn't that when everybody gets together for kind of the pregame lunch before before things go? So just make sure you make a plate for the mayor, and he'll be there.
Yeah,
that's how you get him. Again, we've got the Feast of the Blessed Sacrament happening. It starts on Thursday, July 31st, and runs Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And the headline acts have been announced. The entertainment. We'll go through it again really quickly for everybody so that they can know, but it is on your Facebook page.
Everything's on our website with a complete schedule of all 50 bands and what time they're running. So that's the best source.
There you go. But I'm a fan of U2, a huge fan of U2.
Good.
Unforgettable Fire is one of the best U2 tribute bands in the world. Yeah. And people are really going to be in for a treat. And they put on the show. So you're going to feel like you went to a U2 show when you see them. I don't think U2 is, you know, going to come to the feast because they've got this big elaborate stage set up. They would take up all of your entire feast grounds with it. But this is the next best thing. And of course, all of the great, you know, the traditional part of it too. It's not just about coming down and seeing these bands. It's about taking part in the Madeiran heritage, learning about it, experiencing it, and getting to be part of a culture that is woven into the fabric of New Bedford that people don't even realize they're brushing up against all the time. So, gentlemen, I want to thank you for joining us, and I hope that this is the biggest and best feast ever, and I hope that everything goes off smoothly.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you there and all of your listeners.
You will know me because I'll be the obnoxious one singing U2 at the top of my lungs. I never sing, but with a few glasses of wine in me, it might be a different story. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have the news with Mike and then more with you, 508-996-0500. welcome back in. One of my favorite lines in music, trying to catch the deluge in a paper cup, which that's me trying to get that Madeira wine. I want that deluge in my paper cup. So, first of all, congratulations to Ron. He was the winner of the porch sampler from McGraw's Back Porch Ice Cream. He knew the correct answer to our brain freeze question of the week. Who was the actor who played Paul? Who was the actor who played the Penguin's father in Batman Returns? It was Paul Reubens, also known as Pee-wee Herman. And it was actually him, and then Penguin's mother was played by Diane Salinger, who was Simone in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So they both had a history of working with Tim Burton, and Tim Burton cast them as Penguin's parents in that cameo, which was kind of fun. And that's just, it's a weird movie. Batman Returns, I love it. So congratulations to Ron for getting that answer right and for winning himself some free ice cream. And if you are looking for some work, if you are looking for an extra job, if you're looking for something to do in retirement, if you are looking for something to do around your kid's school schedule, Tremblay Bus Company desperately needs school bus drivers, monitors, and van drivers. You can drive a school bus or a van and help kids get to school. Even if you don't have a CDL, that's okay. They'll train you if you're willing to learn. All you got to do to find out more is go to tbcbus.com. TBC for Tremblay Bus Company, tbcbus.com. And you can find out all the information about how to apply and what's involved. And maybe you could be driving or monitoring by the time school starts next year. Because again, you know, kids are off today and tomorrow is the last day of school in a lot of communities. But then you got to start getting ready for next year. The next school year is right around the corner and you could be helping those kids get to school. TBCBus.com. All right, let's go to the news with Mike Roberts and then we'll take your calls on the other side. 508-996-0500.
The Iran-Israel conflict continues to rise. A new law banning gender transition care for minors and interest rates remain unchanged.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
The State Department is warning Americans not to travel to Iran. The warning was issued Tuesday as the airstrikes have been escalating between Israel and Iran. Members of Congress in both parties are looking to limit U.S. involvement in the conflict. Protests took place last night in several cities, including Boston, New York City, and Washington, D.C., to push back against any U.S. involvement in the conflict. Organizers say if President Trump orders strikes to take out Iranian nuclear facilities, the work could be escalated to dangerous new heights around the world. The Federal Reserve is leaving interest rates unchanged, marking the fourth straight time the central bank has kept rates steady.
Fed Chair Jerome Powell spoke after the decision.
We believe that the current stance of monetary policy leaves us well positioned to respond in a timely way to potential economic developments.
Rates will remain high and hover between 4.25% and 4.5%. Mortgage rates are near 7%, and the average credit card rate is north of 20%. President Trump has been pressuring Powell to cut rates. I'm Lisa Taylor.
The organizers of the No Kings protest say the next nationwide demonstration will take place next month.
The people behind the recent No Kings Day, where millions came together opposing President Trump's military parade, are hosting another action day called Good Trouble Lives on July 17th. This day honors civil rights activist and Georgia Congressman John Lewis, who passed away on this date in 2020. Lewis, who coined Good Trouble, served 17 terms in Congress, was an original freedom rider, and marched with Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on multiple occasions. I'm Liz Kennedy.
The Supreme Court ruling in favor of a Tennessee law that bans gender transition care for minors. In what is being viewed as a major setback for transgender rights, the 6-3 ruling from the court will likely cause widespread impact as 24 other states have similar laws to the one in Tennessee. Chief John Roberts wrote, "The Tennessee law isn't a form of sex discrimination. That would be a violation of the 14th Amendment." New York City's first wine window is now open in Times Square. Here's Kristen Marks.
The Italian city of Florence is known for the Buchette del Vino. They go back to the 16th century when winemakers would sell flasks of wine through small arched openings, often built into the facades of historic buildings. The idea was to avoid having to open for business and pay taxes, but they later became a safe way to sell wine when the plague struck in the 17th century. Now, New Yorkers and visitors alike can get wine slipped through an Italian-themed window that's set up on Broadway between 43rd and 44th Streets, along with items like espresso, gelato, and paninis.
Tomorrow will be the longest day of the year. The summer solstice falls on June 20th in the U.S. and the 21st in Europe. Tomorrow, the Earth will achieve its maximum tilt towards the sun, allowing for more hours of sunlight in the northern hemisphere and kicking off the summer months. The closer you get to the North Pole, the more extra sunlight you'll enjoy. Residents in Fairbanks, Alaska, for instance, will see nearly 22 hours of daylight. In the southern hemisphere, tomorrow will mark the winter solstice, making it the shortest day of the year.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox beat the Mariners yesterday afternoon in Seattle 3-1. Red Sox are off tonight and will take on the newly traded Rafael Devers and the Giants tomorrow night at 10:15.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
The heat and humidity will continue to build throughout the day. It will be partly cloudy, temperatures in the low 80s by the coast, mid to upper 80s closer inland. With the humidity, it will feel like the low to mid 90s. You could see a stray thunderstorm later this afternoon into this evening. Overnight lows tonight down to about 68. Tomorrow, a little less humid, a light breeze and more sunshine, temperatures around 83. The weekend looking rather sunny, just a few clouds on both Saturday and Sunday with a high near 80. Things begin to really heat up at the start of next week on Monday. I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM News update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Welcome back in. That song will always forever make me think of working on the Standard Time sports desk because we did like a redesign of the paper in my last couple of years there. And as part of that, we were looking for not only the main stories that we would have, but also these things that we call breakouts. So instead of it just being part of the story, a little something you could pull out. So visually it would be kind of its own story unto itself. So maybe you wrote a story about a field hockey game, and it just so happened that one of the players scored four goals and it was her birthday. So you would, you know, kind of pull that out instead of, if that wasn't your lead story, if your story was more of a gamer, you might have that little, you know, kind of human interest thing as the breakout. Or maybe there'd be like some interesting stats or something. You would break these things out and have a breakout. And so every time we had a breakout, we would say, "Oh, I got a breakout," and Ed Collins would have queued up on YouTube on his computer, "Swing Out Sister," and he would just hit that. And we'd listen to a couple seconds of "Swing Out Sister" and be like, "Breakout." So it was, you just did stuff like that to get through the night because it was a hectic night taking all those high school phone calls and pulling all together all the game coverage. So anyway, you could also break yourself out of the cycle of having to pay high energy bills by going solar, right? That's what we keep saying. That's what you keep hearing. But is it true? Well, Isaacson Solar can let you know for sure. Have them come out to your home and take a look at your property. Have them tell you if solar is a good fit for you. And if it is, they'll give you a free, no obligation quote. They're not going to come to you. They're not going to come and knock on your door and say, hi, we're with Isaacson Solar. We'd like to talk to you about going solar. That's not what they do. That's for the other companies that aren't nearly as trustworthy as Isaacson Solar, because they're just coming into town, selling you some solar panels, and then moving on to the next town. That's not what Isaacson's about. They're here. They're part of the community. They want you to come to them when you are ready to talk about going solar. And then they'll come to your home and take a look, and they'll talk to you, and they'll present with you with some of the ideas. But they're not going to come knock on your door and try to force solar panels down your throat or on your roof. They're going to wait for you to be ready to have that conversation. And when you are, IsaacsonSolar.com, I-S-A-K-S-E-N, IsaacsonSolar.com. All right, we got an app chat message here from Paulie, who says, it looks like you will be able to buy NIPS in New Bedford for the foreseeable future. Now let's see if Dictator Mitchell's ego makes him waste more taxpayer money on an appeal to get his way. So I didn't know that that court case had been decided, but I guess it has. And I've gone over this a few times, and I've kind of, listen, I understand the people who want to ban it. I understand your points. I understand the idea of the litter problem. I understand the problem of it makes it easy for people to drink and drive or be, you know, drinking in public. I understand all of that. However, the majority of people who buy NIPS, I don't have any data to back this up, but this is just my observation, my anecdotal evidence. I think the majority of people who buy NIPS do so responsibly. And you are punishing everybody else, for including the stores, for the actions of some individuals rather than addressing the actions of those individuals. Is it easier to ban them and not have them show up on the ground? Is it easier to ban them and not have people drinking them? Okay, yeah, but what happens now is instead of going in there and buying a NIP and drinking that, they're going in there buying a larger bottle and drinking that. Don't think that people who want to be drunk in public or who want to drink and drive are not going to do it now because they have to buy a larger bottle. No, they're just going to drink more. And in fact, if somebody goes and drinks a NIP and then gets behind the wheel, they shouldn't. But they're going to be far less intoxicated than if they go and buy a bigger bottle and try to drink all of that before they get in the car, right? And as for the litter aspect of it, yeah, it's a problem. But so is a lot of other things. And as I've said before, I'd rather see you ban cigarettes and Dunkin' cups before you ban NIPS, because I see more of those things on the ground. Smokers just have no shame at all about, you know, rolling down the window and throwing a cigarette butt out. People have no qualms at all about leaving a half-drunk Duncan. As I've said before, there's an entire Instagram account with that name, leaving those somewhere. People do it all the time here in the parking lot. They open up their car, they take a Duncan cup out, they put it down on one of these little islands between the parking spaces with the trees in them, and then they go off and go get their new cup from Duncan. And then when that one's, you know, in their car and they only drink half of it, they'll come and leave that one. So there's other problems that I think are bigger issues with litter than the NIP bottles. And it just seemed like a convenient thing to pick on. Maybe you feel differently. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in, 508-996-0500. And that, of course, is Madonna, Borderline. And I think that was the first song that I heard from Madonna. And I think Holiday came out first, and I might be incorrect, but anyway, that was the song that I first remember hearing. And I was like, oh, I like the song. And then Lucky Star. I've always been a fan of Madonna. I know people beat up on her now, but she had some really great music over the course of her career. And then stuff in the 90s, even better, in my opinion. So there was a story last week. I don't know if we talked about it here on the air, but there was an issue where a band teacher, the band director and teacher in Cumberland, Rhode Island, had resigned because there was an investigation into his actions on an overnight trip. And the police were not involved. The police said that there weren't any charges, but that this was an investigation that the school had been doing about something he had done wrong. And WPRI has more on the story today. Apparently, this band director, whose name is Michael, I think it's Feroci or Feroce, he was inside the hotel room of female high school students for an extended period of time during an overnight school, an overnight band field trip. The chair of the school committee, Amy Vogel, said there was no evidence uncovered of improper physical contact, but that band director, Michael Feroci, was inside the girls' hotel room late in the evening during a trip over Memorial Day weekend in New York City. Now, the teacher has not responded to multiple requests for comments. He was put on paid leave late last month and then subsequently resigned as the school leaders were preparing to fire him. And Vogel's statement says, although Mr. Feroci's presence in the room appeared consensual and there was no evidence uncovered of improper physical conduct on this trip, Mr. Feroci's decision to go into the hotel room of female students late in the evening reflected conduct that the superintendent found unacceptable. I mean, yeah, duh. What would make a teacher think that it was okay to go into the room? Things have changed from when you and I might have gone to school. You know, teachers gave me rides. I went in the car with teachers before, but you can't do that today. When I was a junior in high school, my sister's eighth grade class went on their Washington field trip. I got hired to come and film it from the AV department. I shared a room with my former eighth grade science teacher. He was my roommate on that trip. I was a 17-year-old kid. That wouldn't happen now. There's nothing wrong with it. The only bad thing that happened was he introduced me to the comedy of Dick Shawn. And I was like, this guy's not as funny as you think he is. But other than that, it was, you know, nothing wrong. Perfectly fine. And then, but...
Did he introduce you to Dick?
No. If you heard Chris McCarthy there... Send the FCC complaints to him, not me. I know it's my show, but he's the one that said it. So the real issue here is just knowing what the boundary should be and realizing that this is not the world of the adults that grew up now, the adults now of when they grew up. This is a different world. You can't do something like that. The first paranormal convention I ever went to, or maybe I think it was the second, but... I was still married at the time, and a couple of ladies went to the front desk and had them call my room and say, we want to go up to Tim Weisberg's room. Can you call him and let him know that we're here? And the front desk said, there's two ladies here that would like to come up to your room. And I said, no, I'm not letting them come up to my room. I'll meet them in the hallway. And that's what we did. They wanted to have a drink with me before the festivities started. And I said, okay, we're doing it in the hallway where everybody can see and where there's cameras. And, you know, you got to be careful. Let's take a quick call here, and then I got to take a break before the end of the hour. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. I'm Sassfield.
How you doing?
Good. You know what you're talking about, the teacher being in the room with the students?
Yes.
Did a New Bedford High School have something happen like that with the girls' softball team and all the people around him protected him? Never got fired? Kept all the girls complaining that he actually kissed and fondled the student at a football game on a Friday night. Didn't that happen?
I don't recall.
Guys like Mike Longo and everybody protecting the guy?
I don't remember. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I don't remember.
Oh, it happened. It happened. Okay? So, it's a funny how different schools handle different things, and that's the way New Bedford handles things. By protecting their own. He actually kissed and fondled the student. The student's complaint, he was walking in on the girls while they were changing. But he got to retire, and he got a big speech out of Michael Ungo. He's a hell of a guy and all this.
All right.
So, you know what I mean?
I catch you.
Everybody out there knows who I'm talking about.
All right. Well, I got to hold you there because I got to get this break in, but thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. All right, let me take this break. We'll come back and wrap things up. We'll be right back. And those of you who have something to say about the Karen Reed verdict, one way or the other, you're going to get your chance this morning because South Coast Now, Chris McCarthy has a full show packed for you. He's got Chris Markey coming in to talk about it. He's got Ken Pittman coming in to talk about it. And, of course, they want to talk with you about it, 508-996-0500. But right now, before I go, I'm going to talk to you about meat. I'm going to talk to you about The Butcher Shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, the only place to go to get meat because when you get it there, it just tastes different. It tastes better because it's cut the way you want it. It's good quality stuff. It's not the stuff that they give you at the supermarket where they just cut it how they want to cut it, how they want to sell it, and then you don't even know how long it's been sitting there in the refrigerator for. So at The Butcher Shop, it's fresh. It's cut in front of you exactly the way you want it. And has flavor like you wouldn't believe. Plus, they marinate stuff. They'll season stuff. Whatever you need them to do. So stop by The Butcher Shop. Talk to Joe. Talk to Eric. Tell them what you're looking for. And they'll make sure they get it for you. Even that stuff you haven't had in forever. They'll get it for you. That's the way they work down there. Check out The Butcher Shop. 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. And we'll talk with Eric tomorrow. But I will also talk with you tomorrow for Fun Friday.